Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, 16 lines down. Yesterday we left off the Gemara discussing the position of Rav. Rav, who believes that the position of the Chachamim in the Mishnah is guided by the Pitcho Shel Heichal, and therefore the Gemara had a problem because we had a Braita that suggested when we have an Amaltra, we have some sort of unusual top to the doorway, then you're not bound by the 20 Amot height. Yet, the Pitcho Shel Heichal had that same sort of decorative top, and nevertheless, it was only 20 amot high. So the Gemara wanted to reconcile or understand how Rav would work with his Braita. In the end, Rav suggested that the Braita actually is a machloket Tanaim, because we had a previous Braita that said that the Chachamim's position is guided by the Pitcho Shel Heichal. So Rav says, even if I'm not in the picture, you have a question between the Braitot or a stira between the Braitot, and therefore it must be that it's a machloket Tanaim. And if it's a machloket Tanaim, I subscribe to the Tana, who says that the Chachamim's position is governed or guided by Pitcho Shel Heichal. And therefore this Braita about the Amaltra, I will not subscribe to it because the Tana that I follow, or the position of the Tana that I follow, does not agree with that Braita either. Now along comes Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar below Rav. Even with Rav out of the picture, Matnita Adade Lokashin, there wouldn't have been a stira between the Braita. The whole premise of Rav's position was that even without him, the Braitot would be difficult. So therefore, we have a stira in the Braitot. And if you have a stira in the Braitot, then Rav says, I subscribe to one of those positions in the Braitot. Nachman Yitzchak says, well, if Rav wasn't in the picture, there really wouldn't have been a stira in the Braitot. Because, Lirabanon, Korah, what's the purpose of a Korah and a Mavui? My Taima, La Mishum Hekera, isn't it because of a recognition or a person will note that there is a Korah there, and then he'll remember that that's the end of the Mavoi. It has to be within a position where it can be sighted and seen, and be a Heker. What about the fact that we have in this Braita that you can go above the area of the Heichal? So what's the reason behind Maltra? Why does a Maltra allow you something different than the Korah? Well, we assume that it allowed you something different is because it's recognizable, it's distinguished, it's something unique, and that would draw the attention of the individual. And just like by Korah, the whole reason for Korah is a Heker, so this Amaltra will act as a Heker. But what about the fact that the Braita also says when you have an Amaltra, you can even go higher than the Pitcho Shel Heichal? And the Braita that terms or conditions the Korah for the Mavoi on the Pitcho Shel Heichal, where we saw before, Aktani Yetami Pitcho Shel Heichal Yimma'et, that wasn't because that is the limiting factor, the Pitcho Shel Heichal is the guidance, but rather Simon Abalma. It was to wait to remember the amount. You want to remember how high the Korah on the Mavui can be? That is 20 Amot. How are you going to remember it? Remember that the Petach Shel Heichal is 20 Amot high. But not that that is a paradigmatic doorway and therefore everything is guided by Pitcho Shel Heichal, but rather it is just used as a reference point or a memory aid that the 20 Amot are here. So by doing that, Rav Nachman Yitzchak now reconciles between the Braitot and says, the Braitot that says Pitcho Shel Heichal is not exact. It used Pitcho Shel Heichal as a guide point or a guide post, but not to tell you halachically that it's only 20 Amot. 20 Amot is the halacha. Pitcho Shel Heichal is our memory aid or way to remember that it's 20 Amot, but nothing to do with that. That's the guide or the directive of how to make your doorway. The next one comes along and says, the next Braitot says, Amaltra, you can have even above 20 Amot. Why? Because the whole purpose of Korah is for Hekera. If the whole purpose of Korah is for Hekera, so then a Maltra works the same way, because a Maltra is something that's going to draw one's attention, and it'll function the same way. Now I've reconciled between the Braitot, and with Rav out of the picture, I could have solved the problem of the Braitot. I do not have to say that it's a Machloket Tanaim. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Hanicha, Ilo Svirle Hadrabo. Rav Nachman Yitzchak makes sense that if he's explaining the reason for Korah over here is Heker, and the reason for the 20 Amot is Heker, then that works well if he does not subscribe to the position of Rabba. Elis Virle Lehad Rabba, if he does subscribe to the position of Rabba in Sukkah, which is Dama Rabba, Ktiv, it says by Sukkah, Leman Yedu Doretechem, Kibish Sukkoto Shavti, that there's a requirement or a mitzvah that the Bnei Yisrael, when they sit in the Sukkah, that they will recognize, they will know that I put Bnei Yisrael in Sukkot when they left Mitzrayim. So now, Adis Rimama Adam Yodei Shadar B'Sukkah. Person, until 20 Amot high, a person recognizes or sees that they're sitting in a Sukkah, meaning that the roof is made out of Schach. Amalam Yasrim Amav, it's above 20 Amot, in Adam Yodea. Person doesn't know. He's sitting in a sukkah, Mishom de Lo Shalta Be'ina. It's not within the peripheral vision or the normal vision of an individual. So now, Almo Gabi Sukkah Nami Behekera Pligi. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim will argue by Sukkah whether 20 Amot is the limit of the height of Sukkah. They're arguing about the same issue, which is Hekera. Is it easily seen? Is it something that would catch the attention of the individual? If that's the point by Sukkah, then if Pligi Bitarte Lamali. Then why do I need them, or Lamalehu? Why do we have to have them argue in two positions? According to Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak now, the machlok between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in Mavoi is also about Hekera. Chachamim say it's all about Hekera, it's all about catching one's attention, seeing the item, and therefore Korah is limited to 20 Amot. Then we go to Sukkah, and the Chachamim have the same position as Sukkah, that Tzrach may not be above 20 Amot, because above 20 Amot, it doesn't catch your eye, you don't see it within your peripheral vision, you don't know that you're sitting inside of a Sukkah. So if by Mavui it's done for Hekera, and by Sukkah it's done for Hekera, then why do I need them to be found in two places, the same machloket? Rabbi Yehuda argues in both places. Now I have the same exact machloket found by Mavui and found by Sukkah. Why do I need them to argue twice? Tzricha, we need it in both places. Di Ashmin and Gabi Sukkah. If you only told me by Sukkah, Bahakama Rabbi Yehuda. Over there, Rabbi Yehuda says, came into the yeshiva, Vida. Since a person normally sits in the Sukkah, a person relaxes, resides in the Sukkah, Shalta Be'ino. And a person's peripheral visions, their eye is caught by the schach, even if it's more than 20 amot. Aval mavui de lehiluch avid, by the mavui, where people don't usually stop, they're usually passing through, they're traversing the mavui, then maybe they wouldn't catch their eye if it was but of a 20 amot. Ema mo de lehu de rabbonon. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree to the position of the rabbonon. And therefore we have to say by mavui that Rabbi Yehuda argues there as well. V'yesh min baha, had you only told me by mavui, the machloch between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim. Over here, the Rabbanan say that above 20 amot is no good because people are walking through there, traversing it. Avabahach, by Sukkah, maybe by Sukkah they would agree to Rabbi Yehuda because you're sitting down. Maybe it would be higher, would be okay. Therefore, we need both machlokot to teach us that Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim maintain their positions, whether it is by Mavoi or whether it is by Sukkah. Sukkah has the advantage of you sitting down versus the Mavoi has you walking. In both cases, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda maintain their positions. And that's why we had to speak about or tell about their machloket in both instances. Now the Gemara asks, my amaltra, what is this amaltra that we've been discussing until now? We quoted from the Mishnah and Midot that it was this amaltra that said above the doorway to the ulam or above the doorway to the heichal. What exactly was that? Ruchama braid the rabba barvorma kine. It's like bird houses or dovecotes. It's something that projects outward as it goes up. It actually projects further and further outward, almost like an awning that hangs over the doorway. So not only do you have these beams that are above the doorway that are widening, but they also project forward. So it's something that's distinct and unique. Ki at Rav Dimi, Amar Amri ben Ravova, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he says that in Eretz Yisrael, they say, Paske de Arzo, that these are beams of cedar wood, oak, whatever type of wood, special, unique type of wood, that actually expanded further than the top of the doorway. So you have the lintel of the doorway, and then above the lintel of the doorway, you have these beams that not are protruding outward, but simply that are longer than the width of the doorway, and they expand. Each one on top of the other is wider than the one before. Something that, again, is a unique design, something that would catch the eye. Manda mar paske d'arzo koshke keni. The one who says that it's just the beams that are longer than the width of the doorway, then they certainly would say if it protruded forward, that certainly would be something that would catch the eye. Mandar Makine of Opaske de Arzalo. But the one who says that it was actually protruding forward, if it was flush with the wall and it just was wider than the doorway, then they would not think that's distinct enough to catch one's eye. Umanda Mar Paske de Arza Maitaima. What is the reasoning behind the one who says that the Paske de Arza are something that catches one eye? Mishum de Nafish Mashke, because its width is greater than that of the width of the doorway. Vasuka. But by the case of sukkah, the nafish mashke, where you have something, a sukkah can be very wide as you want. There's no limitations in terms of the width of the doorway. Here, by a doorway, you're limited to the width of a doorway of 10 amot. So therefore, 10 amot wide. And now we're saying that the beams are wider than that doorway, they catch your eye. But by a sukkah, the chachamim have a position that 20 amot is the limit of how high the sukkah can be, no matter how wide the sukkah is. If you're telling me that width makes a difference, why doesn't the width also make a difference in the sukkah? So there, Kamrei Rabbanan de lo. And over there, the Rabbanan say, it doesn't matter. 20 amot is the limit and no more. It's not because just because it's wider than the doorway, but because it's something unique, something that is distinguished. It's something that people would come to see or talk about. And therefore, it has a kola. It has a voice about it, which means that it passes from one person to the other. It goes through the rumor mill. People talk about it because it's something special. And when it's something special, that catches people's eyes, that catches people's attention. So the Amaltra is unique and catches the eye, not simply because it's wider than the doorway, but because of its unique properties that cause people to talk about it, think about it, and then look at it. And that's why it acts as a hekera. By sukkah, by schach, schach is a covering, it's a roof. It's not something that's spectacular or unusual. So therefore, if the sukkah is wider, it doesn't do anything for you because your lo shalta ba'ena, your eye does not catch the schach when it's above 20 amot. Miksad korah b'toch esrim, miksad korah l'malam esrim. If the korah is sitting partly below the 20 amot line and partly above the 20 amot line, miksad schach b'toch esrim, miksad schach l'malam esrim. Some of the schach is sitting above the 20 amot line, and some of the schach is sitting below the 20 amot line. So Amar Rabba, we're going to actually have numerous opinions as to what the halacha is in both of these cases. Rabba will be the first one. Amar Rabba, b'mavui kasher. In a mavui, when the korah is half above or half below, that is fine. By sukkah, it's pasul. Maishna b'mavui de kasher. Why is it by the mavui that we say it's kasher? Darminan kalush. We say, weaken it. What happens if you eliminate everything that's above 20 amot? Let's just say it doesn't exist. That would be a good korah, because we know that a korah does not have to be physically strong. It just has to be across there, something that is not normally there, that is there for hekera, that could hold, the width of the korah has to be able to hold a half a brick, but it doesn't have to be strong enough to hold half a brick. So if I cut off the top that was above 20 amot, and I'm left with this very thin board there, that would have been sufficient. Where it says, sukanami leima kalush. I say by sukkah too. If you want to say that, let's cut it away, and the upper schach will be gone, and then the lower schach that's left will make it into a kosher sukkah. I says that won't work. If you make it weaker, meaning if you eliminate everything that's above 20 amot, then you will no longer have that the sukkah is rov schach or rov tzel. You need to have a sukkah in order to be kosher. You have to have enough schach, enough covering, that the shade is greater than the light that comes through. If you eliminate everything above 20 amot, you're going to be left with insufficient schach to create such a situation. So it says, Ochanami ikalasht, havelei korah nitele beruach. Over here too, if you lighten it up, it's going to be a korah that is going to be blown away by the wind. And if that's the case, that is not a good enough korah. We need a korah that's going to stay there. You're right, it doesn't have to be anything that is strong or physically strong enough to hold up a brick. But it still has to be strong enough that it's not going to blow away in the wind, because otherwise it's not a heker. It'll disappear. So Tosfot over here says that the same thing by the Chamatam Ruba Mitzilta. He says that that's the same reason that the Gemara said before. If you eliminate all the upper schach, the lower schach is going to get blown away by the wind, and therefore it'll be that it's Chamatam Ruba Mitzilta, that there's more light than shade over there. Not because when you eliminate the upper schach, the lower schach is not sufficient to provide the shade. It would provide the shade, but the weight of the upper schach was holding it down. Now you take it off, the wind will blow away that schach. So Tosfot says that's the reason by both of these. Elo al korchach nasek shibudim shel matechet. We'll make it look like it's a piece of metal. That lower piece of the korah, or what's above the korah, we'll look at them as if it was metallic in nature. If it's a piece of metal above it, then that doesn't matter. We have the korah there. That which above it is a shibud shel matechet. It's not a korah, but it's something that's like metal that'll help weigh it down, keep it in place. And so we have a korah that we need, and whatever is above it doesn't bother us. So achanami. So why don't we say the same thing? Al korchach naset ziltam ruba mechamata. So again, according to the way that Rashi is reading it, that means that the upper schach will now help to provide the shade for the lower schach. That is somewhat problematic, and that's what Tosfot raises, because why does that help you out in this case? The upper schach providing shade is schach pasul providing the shade, and that won't help. So what Tosfot says, that having the upper schach there will now maintain the lower schach. It'll weigh on the lower schach, and it won't blow away. If it won't blow away, now you have tziltam rubami chamata. You have the shade being greater than this light that's coming through. And now you have a kosher sukkah. So amarova mi parzakaya sukkah del yachidi lo mitkar. Mavoy del rabim mitkare ahadodi. So Rava mi parzakaya explains this position of Rabba and says, a sukkah is usually built by an individual. It belongs to a private individual. And since it's a private individual, he won't remember that you have to have all the schach below 20, or if the schach on top moves, that you're going to have a problem, and therefore he's going to end up with a sukkah psula. So if part of the schach that's below the 20 amot disappears, he won't remember that the rest is above 20 and fix the item. On the other hand, when we're talking about the korah, we're talking about a mavoi. A mavoi has numerous people that are involved with it. That's why it's a mavoi. It has numerous courtyards that exit into it, numerous houses that enter the courtyard. So you have many people exiting through that area, and they know that it needs to be below 20 amot. And if the area below 20 amot somehow rots or goes bad, they'll know that they have to lower it down because there are numerous people to remind each other about it. So that's one. Ravina Amar, Sukkah de Oraita, Achmiru ba Rabbanan. Mavoi de Rabbanan, lo Achmiru be Rabbanan. So Ravina gives another explanation for this position of Rabbah, is that Sukkah is Minat Torah. Since Sukkah is Minat Torah, Achmim were Machmir, that even though technically it's Kasher, they don't want you playing around with these things that are on the edge. So they say, fix it. Otherwise, you're not going to make it kasher. On the end, by mavoi, which is only a din de rabbanan. So if it's kasher, even though it's on the edge, we're going to let it go through because it's only a din de rabbanan. So that explains the position of Rabbah. Rabbah says by mavoi, this half on top, half below is fine. By sukkah, it's no good. Why is that differentiation there? So we had two reasons for that. One is that mavoi is rabim versus sukkah that's yachid. The other one is that mavoi is de rabbanan and sukkah is de oraita. Those are two reasons that can be given for Rabbah's position. Now we have someone who says just the opposite, which is Rav Adabar Matna Matni Lahash Maitada the Rabba Ipcha. He actually brought Rabba's position down the exact opposite. Amarabba bimavui pasul, bisukak sheira. In a mavui, this is problematic. In a sukkah, it's fine. Maishna sukkah dik sheira. Why is the sukkah different that it's kasher? Damrinan kalush. We'll say, okay, you'll take it and you'll thin it out. We'll take off whatever's on top. So bavui nami leme kalush. So why do you say the same thing about the mavui? Say that we'll cut down whatever's on top. And whatever weak stuff is left below is the korah. That's fine. Where it says, ikalashta avilei korah nitele beruach. If you thin it out in that way, then the korah is going to be blown away by the wind and it won't be a hakera anymore. So it says, hachanami ikalashta avilei chamatam ruba mitzilta. If you take off all the schach that's on top, that is above the 20 amot, then you're going to leave what's below. According to Tosafot, that means there's not going to be sufficient schach to hold it down. The wind's going to come and blow it away. And that's why you're going to have a problem with chamatam ruba mitzilta, or there just won't be a sufficient cell there. What do you have to say? That the tzel is more than the chama, and we're fine. Why don't we say the same thing over here? We'll look at it as metal pipes above the korah, or metal stakes above the korah, and that'll hold it down. So too, just like by the schach, the upper schach is holding the lower schach down so it doesn't blow away, and so you have tziltam ruba mechamata, or that the upper schach helps to make the tzel that you need, whichever opinion you follow, so too here by the mavoi, you can say the same thing. That we look at whatever's above the 20 amot in the mavoi as being held down by metal rods or metal poles. And that'll weigh it down and won't be blown away by the ruach. So in both these cases, we can come up with an answer that looks exactly the same. So how could you be differentiating over here? So Amar Rava Meprezakaya, Sukkah Deliyachidi Rami Anafshe Umidgar. So here he says the same thing as he said before, but just the opposite. So since a sukkah belongs to an individual, the individual knows what's happening. He has some that's above 20, some below 20. The stuff below 20 starts to dwindle or disappear. He'll move the other stuff down because he's responsible for the sukkah, so he knows what's going on. So otherwise, but mavoi de rabimi, when it comes to the mavoi, which is a public, quote-unquote, area where many people are responsible for the korah there, samche adade velomitgere. They rely on each other and they don't remember. There is a diffusion of responsibility. That diffusion of responsibility is going to cause that even when the part below 20 diminishes, that they're not going to fix it. The Amrei Inche, there's a colloquialism of saying, Kidra de Beishutfe, when you have a pot that belongs to partners or to numerous people, Lo Chamima Velo Kirira, it never gets hot and it never gets cold. Because everyone thinks the other one's doing it. And only when they see it's really problematic do they jump in, but they never get it hot enough to cook. But never let it go down. That diffusion of responsibility causes a problem. So that's the distinction between them. Ravina mar sukkah deoraita lo ba'i chizuk. So similar to what Ravina said before, the distinction between deoraita and derabanan, but just the opposite now. Sukkah is deoraita, therefore the rabbanan didn't need to strengthen the halacha because the fact that deoraita makes it strong enough. Mavoi derabanan, mavoi which only a din derabanan, ba'i chizuk, that needs strengthening. They had to put in extra requirements that you be careful about it because otherwise people get lax in Dinei Durabanan. So here we have two formulations of Rabba's statement. In each of the formulations, one is kosher and one is pasul. Just a question of which is which. Is it that the sukkah is kasher and the mavui is pasul? Or is it the mavui is kasher and that the sukkah is pasul? In both of these cases, you have Rav Mipar Zakaya and Ravina creating the distinction between them. Sukkah is the yachid, sukkah is the oraita. Mavui is the rabim, and mavui is the rabbanan. Question is, being the oraita and the rabbanan, is that better or worse? So in one instance, we said the oraita is better, because you don't need chizuk. The other one, we said, no, the oraita is more chamor, so we needed to do more for it. In the other instance, we said that yachid is better because he takes responsibility for it. In the other one, we said that yachid is not so good because a yachid doesn't focus and forgets to take care of it. And same on the other side. When it comes to the mavui, we said, oh, it's derabanan. So derabanan is more mekil, so we don't worry about it so much. Or, because it's derabanan, we have to mechazik it in order that people aren't lax about it. And the same with it being derabim. Doesn't mean derabim, therefore it'll get solved the problem. Or we say, because it's derabim, there's diffusion of responsibility. So you have both stadim in each of these cases, and that's where we have here two formulations of Rabba's position. Now we have an additional two formulations of the halacha here. So my havi Allah, what's the din? Rabba bar Ravula amar zeh zeh pasul. Both of them are pasul. And Rava amar zeh v'zeh kasher. And Rava says they both are kasherim, meaning that the din is equal in both of these cases. The din is the same, both between sukkah and mavui. According to Rabba bar Ravula, they're similar in that they're both psulim. And if you have half above, half below, you have to take it all down. And Rava says they're both kasherim, and you can leave it there. And only if there's a problem with that which is below, you have to rectify the situation. Now the Gemara continues and says that by our Mishnah, it says, Chlau sukatnan, chlau mavuitnan. This is what Rekiva Eger noted on the Mishnah. The Rashi's perush on the Mishnah seems to be a little wrong, because Rashi's talking about the 20 amot referencing the Korah. And that's not true, because here the Gemara says that the 20 amot is not about the Korah, but rather about the airspace of the mavui. The airspace of the mavui can be up to 20 amot. That means the Korah can sit right above the 20 amot, and everything below is fine. It's not that the Korah has to be within 20 amot, it has to be that the airspace of the mavui is not above 20 amot, and that's the same by sukkah. By sukkah, the schach can be above the 20 amot, as long as the airspace of the sukkah is limited to 20 amot, meaning that the schach can sit right above the 20 amot level. So I'm a little popular of a tanyo de misayeloch. We have a braita that supports your position. Mavui shu gvoa me'esrim ama, yoter mi pitcho shel eichal. That's the braita that we quoted before. If you have a mavui, which is above 20 amot, greater than the area of the doorway of the Eichal, Yima 8. And you should reduce it. Veichal Gufo. And when you're talking about the doorway of the Eichal and the Eichal itself, Chalo Esrim. That area is 20 amot high. So you see that we're talking about 20 amot, and then the lintels on top of it. So to over here, by the Mavoy, we're talking about 20 amot, and then the Korah sits right above it. Eitev Hei Rav Shimi Bar Arav Ashi L'Rav Popo. Keitzad Haya Oseh. How do you do this? Meniach Korah Misfat Esrim Ulemato. So how do you put on a Korah in order to take care of the Mavoy? You put up the Korah from Misfat Esrim, from the 20 Amot mark, downward. So that makes it sound like the Korah itself must be within the 20 Amot, not just that the Halal, the airspace of the Mavoy, is in there. So Ema Ulemalo. Just change it. Don't say the Mato. Say Ulemalo, that it should be on the 20 Amot point and upward. It says Vahalamata Ktani. How are you changing it to Lamalo? Tosefta says that it means Lamato. So why are you changing it Lamalo? So Hakamash Malah, no, it's coming to teach us this din. To Lamato, ke Lamalo. Down below, the minimum shiur for the airspace of a mavui or sukkah is similar to the upper limits of a mavui and a sukkah. Mala mala l'chalalam esrim. Just like the maximum amount of airspace you can have in a sukkah or in a mavui to be kasher is 20 amot. And that includes the chalal. That's talking about the chalal itself. So too, aflamato, so too below chalala asara. The chalal has to be 10 tvachim. The minimum airspace for a sukkah to be kshera or for a mavui to be kasher is 10 tvachim. So that 10 tvachim is not that the roof sits within the 10 tvachim. It means that the airspace itself is 10 tvachim. And that's what's meant by the word the mato. Yes, it means 20 amot is the korah and above. That's where you place the korah. Lamato. Lamata is telling me, just like Lamala up above, the maximum amount is talking about the airspace. So to the minimum shear is talking about the airspace. And so here it'll be a luchumra, which is that you need 10 tvachim of airspace, not 10 tvachim including the top or the korah. You have to have the korah or the skak sitting above the 10 tvachim, just like by the maximum space. We're talking about the airspace and not the korah or the skak itself. Omar Abaye Mishmid Rav Nachman. Amat sukkah. Vamat mavui v'ama bat chamisha. And we're talking about the ama of sukkah and the ama of the mavui. We're talking about an ama that is made up of five tefachim. amat kilayim, when we're talking about the amat kilayim, bama bat shisha, we're talking about an amat that is six tefachim. The Gemara talks about this in other places, but that the amah, which is the measurement from the end of the middle finger until the elbow, that's called the amah, it is constituted of numerous fingers, as we'll call them, tefachim, and numerous fists that you can put together in order to make up the amah. And there are different ways to measure that, and different types of tefachim. So over here, the Gemara says that the amah, it can be 5 tefachim, 6, there's 4, 5, 6, or 7. The Gemara talks about all different types of measurements. It says here, but when we're talking about the sukkah, we're talking about an amah that's made up of 5 tefachim. And when we're talking about kilayim, we're talking about an amah that's made up of 6 tefachim. Now, it's obvious that he's making this statement because that'll go to chumrah. That'll make it more stringent in both these cases. And the Gemara wants to understand that. Amah mavui be'amah bat chamisha, the fact that you shrink the amah. You say that the amah by the mavui is smaller than your 6 tefach amah, but rather it's a 5 tefach amah. But my hilchata, what's aloha here? It must be aloha that's the chumrah, because that's why he's saying it, which is, ligov ho uler pirzat mavui. It's for its height. We know that the maximum height of a mavui is 20 amot. So when you measure the 20 amot, those 20 amot are consisting of 100 tefachim. It is not made up of 120 tefachim, but rather 100 tefachim, because it's made up, these amot are made up of 5 tefach amot. Uder pirtzah, pirtzah is a breach in the wall of the mavoi. The breach in the wall of the mavoi up to 10 amot, we consider it to be a doorway. Beyond 10 amot, we say that it's no longer a doorway, but rather a breakdown of the wall, and there's no wall in that area at that point in time. It causes a problem. So now that pirtzah, the measurement of 10 amot, again, will be 50 tefachim, and not 60 tefachim, because that'll be the chumrah. So therefore, in those two cases, we'll say that that is why he measures it by 5 tefachim amot. Vayika mashach mavoi. What about the fact that the length of a mavoi has to have a minimum shiur? The minimum shiur of a mavoi is 4 amot. It has to be 4 amot deep. So that'll end up being the kula, because that's a measurement to determine whether it is or not the mavoi. So if you say it's 4 amot made up of 5 tefachim amot, that means it only has to be 20 tefachim deep in order to be a mavoi. If you said 6 tefachim, then you need 24 tefachim deep. So it turns out to be, here it's a kula, not a chumrah. Kamanda amar be'arba'a tefachim. Go be according to the one who says that the mavoi has to be 4 tefachim deep. So machloket about how deep the mavoi has to be. We're going to see this later on in the Gemara. Whether a mavoi has to be 4 plus tefachim deep, or does it have to be 4 amot deep? Now it has to be, what we know is, longer than its width. So we know that the minimum width of a doorway is 4 tefachim. So if that's the minimum width, then the minimum length, in order for the length to be longer than the width, is to be 4 plus tefachim. So it has to be either 4 plus tefachim, or according to the other opinion, it's 4 amot. According to one who says it's amot, it actually turned out to be a kula if you measure by 5 tefachim amot. So rather, he says this statement was made according to the Manda Amar that the mavui only has to be 4 tefachim plus deep, because therefore we're not dealing with amot, and there's no kula from here. V by tema, barba amot. Even according to the one who says it has to be 4 amot deep. Virov amot kamar. It doesn't mean that every amah that we measure by mavoi is 5 tefachim, but rather most of the amot that you mentioned by mavoi are going to be these 5 tefachim amot, because that'll turn out to be the chumrah. And that is by the height of the mavoi and the pirtzah by the mavoi. Amat sukkah, bama bat chamisha. We just said before also that by the amah of the sukkah, we measure those amot, that they are 5 tefachim amot. Amai hilchata. Again, what halacha is it that we're talking about that makes it the chumrah? So one is the govha, the height of the sukkah. Sukkah has to, the maximum height of a sukkah is 20 amot. Those 20 amot will be measured by 5 tefachim amot, meaning 100 tefach high is the maximum height of a sukkah, not 120 tefachim high, which would be 6 tefachim amot. Lula dofen akuma. Dofen akuma is a kula that we have by sukkah, which is, Rashi describes it as a case where, for instance, if you had your dining room, and all of a sudden in your dining room, the middle of the ceiling collapses in your dining room right before Sukkot. And you say, you know, rather than put back the ceiling and fix everything there, since it's open now to the elements, let's just put schach there and we'll have our sukkah in the dining room. The only problem is that around the edges, you still have parts of the ceiling that are still there. Does that work? Are you allowed to have that? So the Gemara talks about something called dofen akuma, which is that we look at the walls that come up the sides as if they bend and they go in towards the schach. As long as that area, the area that's around the schach, is less than 4 amot away from the walls, then we say it's called the dofen akuma. It's as if the walls bent over, and then they reach the schach. And whatever's in the middle is kasher. The schach in the middle will be kasher, and you can have your dining room, eat in the middle there, no problem. But if the distance from the schach to the walls that are upright is more than 4 amot, there's no longer dofen akuma, and now you have no schach, because you don't have any walls. The schach is like suspended in midair without any walls. So the maximum amount of wall that is allowed to turn, meaning ceiling, that is classified as wall, is 4 amot. And so those 4 amot are also mentioned by, are measured by 5 tvachim amot. So 20 tvachim away from the upright walls will still be considered dofen akuma as part of the wall, and you can have the schach start after that. Or again, you can have schach psula. You can have schach psula around for the 4 amot around, and call it a dofen akuma, and start the schach kasher after those 4 amot. But that's only up to 20 tvachim. Had you measured it by 6 tvachim amot, it would have been up to 24 tvachim. So again, there it's the chumrah. And therefore, in those halachot, we say that it's an amah bat chamisha. Mer says, what about the fact that vayikam ashach sukkah, v'arba amot? What about the fact that the minimum size of a sukkah is 4 amot? To the kula, that'll turn out to be a kula. The minimum area of a sukkah is 4 amot, then that'll turn out to be a kula. Now you only need a sukkah whose area is 20 tvachim by 20 tvachim, not something that is 24 by 24. The Tani, Rebbe Omer, ani, kol sukkah shein ba dalad amot al dalad amot. The minimum square area of a sukkah is 4 amot by 4 amot. Psula. It's no good. And over by that position, it'll turn out to be a kula, because you'll need a smaller area to be classified as a sukkah. Mar says that this statement is made kirabanan. The minimum shiur of the sukkah is a table, and roshov rubo is head, and the majority of his body has to be inside of it. That's the minimum shiur, which is way below 4 amot. And therefore, it's not, there's no consideration here of amot. Even according to Rabbi, who says it's 4 amot, and again, we'll give the same answer that we gave before, which is rov amot kamar. Majority of amot that are found by sukkah are governed by the measurement of 5 tvachim to an amah, because that'll turn out to be the chumrah. Versus, if you made it 6 tvachim, it'll be the kula. But there are exceptions, because this is the rov. But this over here, by the case of the minimum shear of the sukkah, it'll be the kula. And over there, we would not say that it's a 5 tvachim amah, but rather a 6 tvachim amah. Amat kilayim b'amah bat shisha. By the amah of the kilayim, we say that it's a 6 tefach amah. So that 6 tefach amah would have to also be the chumrah, the mayuchata. What halacha is that coming to teach us? The karachat akerem, v'lim chol akerem. That's talking about the bald spot of the vineyard, or for the circle around the vineyard. It's not. Let's explain this. We have a mishnah in kilayim. Karachat akerem. When you have a vineyard, and in the middle of the vineyard, there was some area that was left open. Are you allowed to plant grains in that area, or that will be a problem of kilay akerem? How much space has to be open in the middle of the vineyard in order to permit you to plant grains in that middle area? Beit Shammai omrim esrim ve'arba amot. It has to be 24 amot by 24 amot. Beit Hillel omrim shesh esrei amot. It has to be 16 by 16, the square area in the middle. Now, we'll explain what this is in a second, and I'll explain to you what the halachas are, why Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel have their opinions. Umechol akerem, the area on the outside of a kerem. If you have a vineyard, and then you have a wall around the vineyard, but there's a space between the wall and the start of the vineyard. How much space needs to be there in order for you to plant tvoah, greens, in that area? Beit Shammai omrim shesh esrei amot. Has to be 16 amot from the beginning of the vineyard to the wall. Beit Hillel omrim shtim esrei amot. Has to be 12 amot from the wall to the beginning of the vineyard. So now the Gemara explains. Ezuhi karachat akerem. What is this bald spot in the middle of the vineyard? Kerev shecharav emtziato. If the middle of the vineyard has an area that is totally clear of all vines, ein sham es shesh esrei amot, if there's not 16 by 16 amot, lo yavi zera l'sham, then you can't plant tvuah in that area. Again, this is the position of Beit Hillel. Hayu sham shesh esrei amah. If you have 16 by 16, notein lo k'dei avodato, you give the amount of k'dei avodah, v'zorea t'motar, and you plant the rest of it. So now, here's the explanation of this. A kerem, a vineyard, requires what we call k'dei avodato. The way that they worked the vineyards is that they brought animals pulling plows in there to plow the area around the vineyards. They brought also, when they were picking the grapes in their butzer, they brought in these wagons to pick them. And they need amount of space around the vineyard. That's called k'dei avodato. That k'dei avodato, Chazal say, is 4 amot. So anything that is on the edge of a vineyard or something that's classified as a vineyard, the first 4 amot that extend from the vineyard are still part of the vineyard. They're part of the vineyard because you need to use that space to work the vineyard. So they're classified as part of the vineyard. So if you have this empty space in the middle of the vineyard, the first 4 amot that are near the vineyard are all part of the vineyard. Then, beyond that, Beit Hillel believes, in order for a sadeh to be chashuv, it has to have an area of 4 amot. So if I started from the center point of that bald spot, and I pushed out 4 amot in each direction, I'll come up with a field or an area that is 8 by 8. So in order for it to be chashuv from that center point, I need an 8 by 8 square in order for it to be classified as being a separate sadeh and a sadeh by itself. So now, if I take those two together, I now understand what the minimum shiur for a bald spot in the middle of a vineyard is to be planted. If I take the middle spot and say I need to go out 4 in each direction, it means I have a square of 8 by 8. I also have to grant on each side 4 amot space for the vineyard that is surrounding it on all sides. If I do that, that's another 8 amot in each direction. That gives you a space of 16 by 16. So if you have an area that's 16 by 16, you're permitted to plant an 8 by 8 middle area with grain, and that will not be considered as kilei kerem. That is the position of Beit Hillel. On the other hand, Beit Shammai believes that the minimum standard is 24 amot. Question as to why. Rashi brings two possibilities of what Beit Shammai's position. Either they believe that kedei avodato, the amount of space that you need to work the kerem, is 8 amot and not 4 amot. So once you do that, you have the 8 by 8 in the middle, that's the tefuah, plus you have to have 8 on each side. So that gives you a space of 24 amot by 24 amot. That's one possibility. Or Rashi gives the other alternative, is that Beit Shammai thinks that a field is not significant unless it's 8 amot wide. So if I take from the center point of the bald spot, I need to go 8 amot in each direction for it to be considered a significant field. That gives me 16 by 16 as the area. And then I need the same 4 amot that Beit Hillel says of Kedei Avodato. If I add on that 4 and the 4 is the 8, it gives me 24. So for Beit Shammai, the minimum shiur to plant an area is 24 by 24 amot. And for Beit Hillel, it will be 16 by 16 amot. Now, in Beit Hillel's case, you always plant the 8 by 8 in the middle, and then you have a 4 amot area around the outside. According to Beit Shammai, depending on what you think their opinion is, it'll turn out that by the 24 amot, by 24 amot, they might think that you can plant 16 by 16, or they might think you plant 8 by 8, depending where they require the 8 amot. Is it in the field itself? Or is it in the Avodat HaKerem? And that's a difference in Rashi's opinion. Vezu Machol HaKerem. What is this Machol HaKerem? Ben Kerem LeGadar. That's between the Kerem, the vineyard, and the fence that's around the vineyard. Ein Sham 12 Amah. If you don't have 12 Amot there, Lo Yavi Zer L'Sham. You cannot plant in that area. Hayu Sham 12 Amah. If there are 12 Amot there, Notein Lo Kedei Avodoto V'Zoreya Tashar. You give the amount that it takes for work the Kerem, and you plant the remainder. Again, this is according to the position of Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says Avodat HaKerem is 4 amot. You don't plant the area that is within 4 amot of the wall, because that will undermine the foundation of the wall, and you don't want that. That's an area that you need to walk to keep that area solid, so that the wall doesn't become dislodged. So you have to get 4 amot by the wall, 4 amot by the kerem, so then you need a minimum of 4 amot to be considered a sadeh chashuv. So over there, you need 4 amot you can plant when you have 12 amot. Now there, it doesn't require 4 amot in both directions because the vineyard's only on one side. As opposed to the case of Karachat, where you have vineyards on all sides, then you need a significant field in each direction. Over here, since the vineyard's only on one side, you only need a significance of a field in one direction, that's 4 amot. So if you have 12 amot from the edge of the vineyard to the wall, you can plant the middle 4 amot, leave 4 amot by the vineyard for its work, and 4 amot by the wall to keep it structurally sound. That's the position of Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai will require a minimum of 16 amot. Again, depending on what the opinion is, either because they require 8 amot of Avodat HaKerem, 4 amot for the wall, that leaves you 4 amot to plant, or because they believe that a field is only significant with 8 amot. Therefore, they require 4 amot by the vineyard, 4 amot by the wall, and you can plant the 8 amot between them. So either way for Beit Shammai. So that's the explanation of Machol HaKerem and Karachat HaKerem. Now, in these instances, if the Amma is governed by the measurement of 5 Tvachim, that turns out to be a Chumrah. And it will turn out to be a kula. So therefore we say it's 6 tvachim. The amount of space that we require to have is greater. We say that it has to be the 6 tvachim, not the 5 tvachim amount. So when Beit Shammai says that the minimum for Machol HaKerem is 12, it's 12 times 6, which is 72 tvachim, and not 12 times 5, which is 60 tvachim. And the same by the Karachat HaKerem, that they require 16 amot. It's 16 amot, which is 6 tvachim and 96 tvachim, and not 5 amot, which would be 80 tvachim. So they require the bigger tefach because that turns out to be the chumrah. Gemara says, "Va'ika rutzufim ba'arba amot l'kula." There's another din by a vineyard, which is that the minimum requirement of space between vines in order to be classified a vineyard is 4 amot. If vines are within 4 amot of each other, they ruin each other, and they're going to be uprooted. So if you want to create a vineyard, and that the Mishnayot discuss of what is classified as a vineyard, over here, Tosafot mentions that it has to be two rows of two and one extra one, meaning two plus three, in order to have a vineyard. But whatever the requirement or minimum requirement of a vineyard is, the spacing between the vines that are in the rows have to be four amot. If it's less than four amot, then one of those rows will be uprooted, and it's no longer classified as a vineyard. Now, a vineyard has chumrot, like we just saw before. If it's classified as a vineyard, you have to give avodat hakerem. You have to give certain requirements for to plant away from it in order not to be kila ayim. So now, here it turns out to be the kula. If you're talking about a four amot times six tvachim, it turns out 24 tvachim. If they're within 24 tvachim of each other, you don't classify it as a vineyard. Whereas if you did a five tvachim amah, then it would be 20 tvachim, and it will turn out to be the chumrah, because over there you have a smaller area where it will not be classified as a vineyard. Being classified as a vineyard is the chumrah. Ditznan, kerem anatua pachot me'arba amot. If you have a vineyard that has the rows less than four amot apart, Rishim omer, eno kerem. That's not classified as a vineyard. Chumim arim, kerem. The chumim say it's a kerem. Vroim et imtzaim gilu einam. You rip out the vines that are in the middle between the two rows, or ones that are less than the four amot apart. And then you rip them out, and then you have to look at the distance between the outer ones to see if they are still considered close enough to be classified as a vineyard. But either way, it turns out what is classified as this four amot, or space between them, you're giving them a bigger distance to be called not a kerem. So the Gemara says, one possibility is kirabanan, damri havi kerem. But according to the Rabbanan, we think it is a kerem. So over there, there's no kula, because it turns out that it doesn't matter the fact that they are too close together, and you have to uproot them, because they still classify the area as a kerem. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, it will turn out that you can say this, because verov amot kamar doesn't mean that every amah by the kerem is six tvachim. Most of them are six tvachim. Over here, you'd measure it by five tvachim, because that would be the chumrah, not the kula. Turns out true, even according to the Chachamim, it could come out that it would be the kula sometimes, because if there are only two rows there, then you can't say, if I take it out, I look as if that their third the whole thing's a kerem, because we're going to uproot that row. So even according to the Chachamim, you have to come up with cases where it will be explanation of why it's not the kula over here. And I have to give the same answer as by Rabbi Shimon that we're talking about rov amot over here. V'rov ha-mishmei de Rav Nachman amar, kol amot bama bat shisha. That everything is done, governed by an amah that is six tvachim. Ela halalu sochakot, v'halalu atzavot. The difference is how you measure the tefach. And this is what comes to this whole idea of why do we have different tvachim inside of an amah? An amah should be a standard size of tvachim. The answer is that there are different ways to measure a tefach. A tefach can be a tight tefach, which is what we call atzavot, or it can be a sochakot, it can be a wide tefach. It depends how you hold your fist and the thumb. If you hold the thumb outside of the fist or inside the fist, do you hold the fingers with a little space between them, or you hold the fingers tight together? And he says it turns out that it'll be the same. If you hold the thumb above, with the fingers a little apart, then you'll end up with a five tefach amah. If you hold the thumb down with the fingers tightly, then you'll end up with a six tefach amah, but they'll both be the same size. I heard once before, I think it's very interesting, that the reason that he uses the term here, sochakot and atzavot, means unhappy and happy, is because the way it looks, when a person holds with the thumb above with the fingers apart, it looks like you're making a smiley face. It has the appearance of a smiley face, and that's why it's called sochakot, which is at what the Rishonim here define as fingers a little bit apart and the thumb on the outside. Whereas, if it's the case where it's atzavot, sad, is when the thumb is in and the fingers are tighter together, it looks like a sad face. And that's the reason given for these differences between them. Okay, we'll stop over here. The Gemara is going to continue with this position of Rav Mishmei, Rav Nachman, and ask numerous questions on that position.